is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 17th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a look at invasive species impact on fishing in the Great Lakes, and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. The trial of a woman accused of drowning her three children in Clinton Lake is off today. Yesterday, jurors watched a videotape in which an Illinois State Police investigator lied to Amanda Hamm during an interrogation. Sergeant Ben Halloran testified that he deliberately misled Hamm. He told her the deaths were recorded on video. Jurors leaned forward in their seats as they watched the 45-minute tape from September 10, 2003. In it, Halloran told Hamm the media would see her as a cold, calculating, and murderous woman. Hamm began to sob midway through the tape and was allowed to leave the courtroom. She has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder charges in the 2003 deaths of 6-year-old Christopher Hamm, 3-year-old Austin Brown, and 23-month-old Kylie Hamm. Illinois state lawmakers are in store for a pay raise, and as Sean Crawford reports, they can thank themselves.
Under the quirky rules that cover salaries, both the House and Senate must reject any salary increase or it automatically kicks in. The Senate decided the raises were warranted. Now all lawmakers will get a boost in their take-home pay. For some, it could be up to 13% more each year, bringing base pay to about $63,000. It was mostly Democrats who voted to accept the higher salaries, among them Chicago Senator Ricky Hendon.
We are underpaid. If you reject a raise for yourself, you're saying you're not worth it. And I don't know about all of you, but I know I work my butt off for the people of the 5th District, and I deserve this little cost of living.
But others complained it sends the wrong message at a time when the state is behind in paying its bills and won't give the same raises to other government employees. Peoria Republican Dale Risinger.
I cannot go back and look in the eyes of other people in this government that are doing a heck of a job, working hard, saying, you know what, I got mine, but you can't get yours.
Some lawmakers say they'll either donate their raises to charity or back to the state's treasury. All state office holders, state's attorneys, and associate judges are also in line to receive more money. I'm Sean Crawford.
Hoping to repair the Republican Party's tattered image, Illinois House Minority Leader says he'll push legislation allowing the removal of a GOP leader linked to a federal corruption investigation. Republican Tom Cross had previously called for Bob Shalander's resignation. Cross said Thursday that there's no way to remove Shalander from his party post under GOP bylaws, so legislation allowing the change must be passed. Shalander is the Republican Party's national treasurer and an Illinois member of the Republican National Committee. His company, Springfield Consulting Group, made $800,000 by helping a company land a contract handling bonds under Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich. His name has also surfaced in a federal investigation of corruption under Blagojevich. In December of 2002, First Lady Patty Blagojevich earned nearly $50,000 in a real estate deal with indicted political fundraiser Tony Rezko. According to the Chicago Sun-Times today, several of Rezko's associates were appointed to state boards and hired by state agencies a month later. Governor Blagojevich's office acknowledged last year that Patty Blagojevich has had a business relationship with Rezko for at least 8 years. Records obtained by the Sun-Times reveal for the first time that a deal between the two and the state's hiring of Rezko's associates occurred around the same time. The governor's office says the real estate transaction and the hirings aren't related. Spokeswoman Abby Ottenhoff says Patty Blagojevich's real estate work has nothing to do with state government. The director of Illinois' Department of Children and Family Services has resigned today after serving the post since 2003. Governor Blagojevich praised Brian Samuels for his service at DCFS. The governor says the work Samuels has done to improve the agency will benefit thousands of children for years to come. Blagojevich today appointed Erwin McEwen as acting director until a permanent replacement is found. McEwen is currently the deputy director for monitoring and quality assurance at DCFS. He has more than 20 years of experience in social service work in Illinois. University of Illinois English professor Richard Powers was absent from campus Wednesday, but he had a good excuse. Powers was in New York City to receive a National Book Award for his novel, The Echo Maker. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Powers' National Book Award for Fiction was celebrated by his peers at the U of I's Urbana-Champaign campus, according to English department head Martin Camargo.
There's general joy. at his winning this prize. We're all convinced he should win every prize he's nominated for.
The Echo Maker is about a man with a rare neurological disorder that robs him of emotional bonds to his loved ones, to the degree that he thinks they are just posing as the real people he loves. U of I Professor Emeritus Nina Baim says such subjects reveal Power's gift for using science to illuminate the human condition.
The core of his fans are people who love science, but not science fiction in the sense of futuristic things, the people who love seeing science worked into a novel.
Powers is a native of Evanston who originally considered a career in science before turning to literature. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. Although zebra mussels have been affecting the ecology of the Great Lakes since they were first found in 1988, researchers are continuously surprised at how much damage they've caused. Now biologists are wondering if zebra mussels and the more recently arrived quagga mussels are to blame for a collapse of the fishery in one of North America's largest lakes. Lester Graham reports the researchers are also wondering if this collapse is a preview of what will happen to all of the Great Lakes.
It's off-season for charter boat fishing, and Captain Wayne Banicki asked if we could meet at a local watering hole called the Boat Bar. Captain Banicki takes people out fishing on Lake Huron. Well, he used to. The past few years, he's been charter boat fishing in Lake Michigan. He says fish started to become more scarce on Lake Huron, and he was forced to make the move.
Economics, pure and simple, dollar and cents. Once you start seeing a decline and being on the water every day, and you see those declines in your numbers, it's just a matter of time before financially you can't afford to stay there. Those dock fees aren't given up free. You know, that's an expensive tab to pay every year.
Fishing for most species in Lake Huron is not good. But the story is not just a matter of not stocking enough fish or just a bad year. It's a matter of a collapse of the bottom of the food chain. It's not just the fish sport fishers like to catch that are down. It's their prey, the smaller fish those big game fish eat. Prey fish stocks have collapsed, and supplies of the food those small prey fish eat, the plankton, have also collapsed. Jim Johnson is with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Alpena Fisheries Research Station.
There was a huge decline in the amount of nutrients available to zooplankton and phytoplankton out in the middle of Lake Huron. These are the basic nutrient bits that fish eat. And it appears now to most of us in the scientific community that a large portion of the nutrients that used to enter Lake Huron are now being trapped by zebra and quagga mussels and not finding their way to alewives and other prey fish.
Scientists from different government agencies and universities in the U.S. and Canada have been noticing changes, but things have gone seriously wrong very quickly in Lake Huron, and it might go wrong other places. Tom Nalepa is with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab. He says tiny aquatic food sources for fish, such as a shrimp-like organism called diaporia, are declining dramatically in other Great Lakes.
All the players are in place for it to happen in these other lakes, too. You know, the loss of diaporia, the expansion of quagga mussels, and maybe that Lake Huron is the first to show these symptoms of a collapse in the prey fish. You know, what does it mean? Well, basically, you know, there's not going to be many fish out there for the sport fishermen to catch anymore.
And sport fishing is a multi-billion dollar industry in the Great Lakes. Back at the Boat Bar, charter fishing boat captain Wayne Banicki says fishing is still good in Lake Michigan, but he worries when he thinks about what happened in Lake Huron.
I think that the fishery as a whole in the Great Lakes is in serious jeopardy right now. Something's got to be done.
But the question is, what? What can be done when invasive species are changing an entire ecosystem to the point the fishery collapses?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't think any one of us know. It's scary, that much I will admit to you. It is scary right now.
And guys like Captain Banicki aren't the only ones worried. Jim Johnson at Alpena Fisheries Research Station says you can't undo the damage that's already done. It's just a matter of waiting to see how nature responds to the invasive zebra and quagga mussels and other invaders. Johnson says the key is to prevent more invasive species from being introduced to the lakes.
the best we can do right now, I think the most effective single thing we as managers can do is to make it understood by the decision makers just how disruptive invasive species are and try to put a stop to those.
The source of many of these invasive species is the ballast tanks of foreign ships entering the Great Lakes. Some regulations have reduced the chance that more invasive species will hitchhike to the Great Lakes, but more are still getting in. In the meantime, agencies such as the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Coast Guard say Congress hasn't given them the authority to regulate foreign ships strictly enough to stop new invasive species from entering. So, fishery managers can only watch the other Great Lakes for more signs of a collapse in the fisheries, as they've only been able to stand by and watch happen in Lake Huron. For the Environment Report, this is Lester Graham.
Meteorologist Jay Searle's forecast in Champaign-Urbana today, mostly cloudy skies with a high of 45 degrees and light winds. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 32. This has been the AM580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM580 News.